You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices. At your DSW store or DSW.com.
Out here, it's not only the amazing views, but the way time stretches out a little longer, how laughter bellows louder among friends, and how the breeze hits just right at the summit. With All Trails, you can discover and experience the best of nature, with over 450,000 trails worldwide and navigation right at your fingertips. Find your outside with All Trails. Download the free app today and find your next outdoor adventure.
All right, this is Dwayne from Concord. You're listening to The Morning Roast. Spadoni, the Italians love you.
And Shasky.
Shasky, you're pretty cool too.
He's an Italian.
This Italian loves Joe Shasky, Italian-American. By the way, this segment is brought to you by Golden State Serving the Bay Area for three generations. When you succeed, we succeed. Visit goldenstatelumber.com. Ethan Strauss. Joining us in about, 11 minutes, House of Strauss on Substack, formerly of ESPN, and talking some NBA finances. What the hell is going on with Jonathan Kuminga and some of these other players that want to get paid and probably aren't going to get paid what they want? The dying of the NBA's middle class and how it affects these guys, you know, the mentals going forward. Like, I'd feel some type of way if I'm Jonathan Kuminga right now. Feeling like I was going to get somewhat paid, and now I'm not really going to get... Am I going to get qualifying offered? I'm going to make like $10 million this year?
I don't think it's just Jonathan Kuminga.
No, it's not. It's Josh Giddey's. There's a bunch of people.
What about Klay Thompson a couple years ago when he could clearly see the writing on the wall? There was only so much money earmarked for him, and he wanted a certain number of years and money. And when he didn't get that status, it almost like... I'm not saying it harpooned the entire season, but he clearly wasn't in the right frame of mind.
What are you not making? What was it?
He got a 3-year, $25 million.
$325 million, is that what he ended up making?
I mean, the rumor was, whether people believe it or not, but the rumor that was floated was the Warriors offered him 2 for $24 million each, which would have been 48 over two, but he wanted the third year.
Right, no.
Because of the status that comes along with that extra year and being able to align up with Draymond. Whether that's real or not, that was what was perceived by certain individuals who cover the team.
3 years, $50 million. It was a sign and trade. Yeah, 350. But I do believe, according to reports, the Lakers offered him more, but he turned it down. I could be misremembering that, but I'm pretty sure that's what happened when it came to Klay Thompson. Obviously, I think the pressure would have been so much more. They're playing for the team he grew up rooting for. Obviously, how it ended in LA in that second round series against the Lakers a couple of years ago just did not end well. But a guy like Klay Thompson, who probably thought, as you're saying, who's going to make more? Malik Monk, another guy we all thought was going to get broken off by someone. Didn't really get that money that he was looking for. So that middle class, as we're talking about, which is what Klay Thompson kind of found himself in, you know, last year, it's kind of just dissipating a little bit. I hate that I'm about to say this right now, and we're going to ask East and Bruce in Ohio. We'll get to you in a second. I hate that I feel like the NBA is at this kind of crossroads when it comes to the coverage and the product slowly becoming more and more like, this. I don't like where the NBA is heading right now.
What do you mean?
I don't like that we're hurting teams that are trying to get better. I don't like that we're going to punish Warriors, Lakers, teams that want to spend a lot, help the Celtics, teams that have been carrying the league, Joe, for 2+ decades, and they're getting punished now.
What about
not the Washington Wizards,
okay,
not the Atlanta Hawks, not the Portland Trailblazers, not teams that you and I and most people couldn't give a rip about, talking about Rip City. No, I couldn't give a rip about these squads, and we're punishing the squads that we all actually care about, and we're going to have this fantasy notion of, oh, but it's good for the league that we have all this parity. No, it's not. It's not good that we have 7 different NBA champions in a row. That's not a good thing.
Why isn't that a good thing
because
for you?
We pretend,
or for
like,
the people?
Because we pretend that we care about parity. In reality, we don't.
No.
We don't want that. I want a super team. I want to root either for or against a super team. That is baked into the equation all the time. And now, and who knows, maybe the Thunder end up becoming that, but what did we just talk about last segment? Oh, you signed Jalen Williams, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, and Chet Holmgren to these massive contracts. Oh, well, you're going to have to get rid of one of them in a year.
No, that's insane.
Stupid.
And they did it the right way in the sense of they drafted and developed their own, correct?
Which is what the Warriors did.
Which they should be able to be rewarded.
Yes, absolutely. And now there was the whole KD on top of that aspect of it, but he was a free agent. And he should be able to dictate where he wants to go going forward, and the team should be able to pay him as such. I just hate that it's going to take another Joey Lightyears, if you will, another Joe Lacob to say, F you to the league, screw the second apron or whatever, I'm going to double and triple down on a super team, and maybe that's the wake-up call.
But here's the problem when you do that, is that you lock in all your draft cap. Like, they made it so difficult because it freezes all your other assets, and what you have is what you have for whatever, 3 or 4 or 5 years. And so there's no getting out of it.
Totally. And it's going to take another Kevin Durant type of a signing that no one sees coming, I think, for it to change.
Yeah.
But it's going to take someone, because you're not going to be able to trade for him, to your point. You're
no
just
doubt.
Not going to.
I just think there are so many disgruntled individuals, at least the perception is that there are disgruntled individuals, and I think the you know what the common fan's thinking? Why are you mad?
Yeah.
You're making a ton of money, right? But there's this status that comes along. It's not about the actual money. It's also the status, the playing time, the equity within the organization, you know, the pecking order, if you will. Like, you know what their currency is in the NBA? Status.
Correct.
Amongst each other.
Yes.
Right? And I think that that's similar to a lot of industries, you know, like being the foreman versus being just a journeyman or an apprentice, right? There's a status with all of those
things.
Well,
that was absolutely at the forefront when it came to Jordan Poole a couple years ago.
There was
a big part of getting paid, and he hadn't gotten paid prior to the punch, right? But that was a big talking point and a bugaboo. A lot of people that were looking to get paid, the Klay Thompsons of the world, the Draymond Greens of the world, well, right?
Biggest, like, bugaboo of this team.
I
want to defend the players, because what do you expect them to do when they're like, when the difference between, like for example, Josh Giddey and Jonathan Kuminga right now, they're both making $8-9 million. Okay.
Yeah.
The difference between signing a Chet Holmgren deal and one of these other deals, I mean, we're talking hundreds of millions of dollar difference.
Yeah. And I don't think they're hundreds of millions of dollars away from them as players. Like, that's a lot for me. Like, is Chet Holmgren to you? And he had a pretty good, like...
No, he's really good.
He's really good. Like, is he worth $250 million more than a Jonathan Kuminga type of player?
Probably not.
Not 200.
No, probably not.
100 plus? Sure.
Well, maybe.
Yeah, maybe. But again, you're even projecting Chet Holmgren going forward that he's going to live up to that.
You know, and I think that's where I think the frustration lies. Hey, he is better than Kuminga right now and on that team.
No,
I agree.
He isn't.
But I don't think he is that much. Like, that's actually a really good point.
Like, I think
you're 100% correct,
more.
Actually.
It's kind of ridiculous.
Yeah, he's
right?
Not hundreds of millions of dollars better than Jonathan Kuminga. No, that I agree with. Like, and this, I guess, comes back to the CBA. You've set your players up for being mad at each other, for infighting about this status and then the money difference. And then you're also just creating locker room tension. It's a bad look all across the board. And so I think you're setting your league up. I remember when Adam Silver came on, I forget who he came on with, and he goes, you know, we have a real problem with our league. Everybody's unhappy. The average player is depressed. And I think like the consumer was sitting here like, what?
Yeah.
How could you be depressed making $9 million? And it's like, no, because within their profession, they feel professionally unfulfilled.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because of the status not being reached, because of this, and they're fighting for money and all this stuff. And like, I kind of get where he was coming from now, but that's a bad thing that you have set up. The system that you have created is bad.
Did you and Evan touch on yesterday at all Scottie Scheffler's most recent comments? Yeah. World number one, obviously in golf, the guy that's probably the favorite in the clubhouse.
And I basically
win.
Told him that there's been times in my life with the, I'm not pretending that I'm Scottie Scheffler, but you work so hard to get here, and then you get here, and you're like, is this all there is?
Right.
Right? And then you win a month, and you're like, yeah, it doesn't matter. Win 5 months in a row. Win 10 books in a row. Do it for 20 straight years. Like, this unfulfilledness as you're chasing this dream, and you're chasing these stuff. I think a lot of people, I think Kobe was tortured by chasing and grinding, and it's never being enough. I think Tiger was tortured by those
things.
Tom Brady.
I mean, the guy sacrificed his marriage because he just kept wanting to chase and chase and chase, and it was never enough for them. And we love those players, but at the same time, like, you look back and say, like, man, like, maybe they should have taken a step back for their own personal health. And I actually commend guys like Scottie Scheffler that are open to talking about it, because right now, it's one thing to talk about it after your career's over. It's another thing to talk about it. He's literally the number one right now, and he's telling everyone, it's like, yeah, I'm not really fulfilled. Even though I've won $100 million, I've won the Masters, I've won all these major tournaments, but I am the best in my craft right now, and I'm not fulfilled.
No,
and I am married, and I do have a kid.
Yeah.
And it's just, and it goes back to the NBA and why we're talking about this, right? These guys not feeling fulfilled enough, and there's this different expectations for players in the ring talk and all of it, what motivates you. I just found it fascinating. I find it fascinating too,
but I also acknowledge that, like, you know what the average fan's thinking? Yeah, I'm unfulfilled too. I go to work every single day and I make a fraction of what you make.
No, for sure.
You know, like, Scottie Scheffler could retire today and he'd be fine.
He could.
Financially, okay? And he'd be fine financially. You know, obviously he'd have to invest appropriately, but the average person is continuing to go to work because they literally have to feed their family.
Yes.
Right? So there's a big difference. And I think it falls on a lot of deaf ears, but you and I appreciate it and we see the truth in it and all that. I don't know if it lands the same way with the average fan.
Not that it lands the same way, but when it comes to motivation in life, there's different, obviously, there's the Scottie Schefflers of the world and there's real life stuff. People are just trying to make ends meet and try to, you know, get like power and water and running, like all of that, and just have a roof over their heads, right? By the way, I just want to mention this. We continue our All-Star Week prize blowout again today. That's every day this week. Each show, we're going to be giving out one of our awesome prizes. And today, we're giving one lucky listener a $100 gift card to the Valkyries merch shop and a pair of 4-day passes to Aftershock. Yeah, the Aftershock Festival. God. It's October 2nd, 3rd, 4th, and 5th, Discovery Park in Sacramento. So be listening starting at 7:30 to learn how you can win. Real quick, before we get to Ethan Strauss, I do want to get to Bruce in Ohio, who's been hanging on tight. Bruce, what's up, man? You're on the Morning Roast.
How we doing, guys? Good show so far. I just wanted to touch base real quick on the consumption of sports media. I'm a lifelong Bay Area sports fan, grew up in the Bay Area. My life has traveled me out to Ohio, hence the name. And I still want to consume all of my various Bay Area media sources. But I've also cut the cord on cable. So I buy the NBA package, the MLB package, the NFL packages, and then various, you know, Netflix and whatnot for the kids. And it's really cool because now they give you, like, on the MLB stuff, they'll give me the pregame show, the postgame show, the broadcast from the Bay Area every time. And specifically with stuff like you guys with the Sports Talk Radio, I've listened to the not-to-be-named station lifelong, as well as when
so
you guys came into existence, hopped on over to 95.7 and now that you're on YouTube, I find myself watching it every morning instead of going to a sports center or a Fox Sports, because I feel like I just get more of a a varied take that's not pre-programmed from guys that are just coming off the cuff with it. And shout out to YouTube, where I quite literally will pause it for like 10, 15 minutes when the show gets started and then fast forward the first few commercials. And it's been wonderful. So just wanted to throw my two cents out there.
I appreciate that.
Good work, gents. Talk to you later.
And I love Bruce that call. I really appreciate it. I'm fascinated by how people are consuming things because I know my habits have changed dramatically. And, you know, I know we're going to have Ethan on. I can't wait to kind of, I'll start right there with him. But
got him right here, right now.
Oh, do we have? Yep. Okay. So, like, my cousin and I have talked about this a lot.
Yeah, let me get the legal real quick before we get to Ethan. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ, FM, and HD1, San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station in the home, the Golden State Warriors and Valkyries. Always on the Free Odyssey app, coming to you live from the Laughing Monk Studios, and now joining us on the River Islands guest line, Ethan Sherwood Strauss, House of Strauss, Substack, formerly of ESPN. You know the guy, and if you don't, you're about to.
Yeah, Ethan, a big fan of yours. I don't think we've ever had an opportunity to talk to each other. I follow you on Substack, and I know you're as fascinated with just how sports fans consume things and how we view stuff, and I've had these long conversations with my cousin who's not in sports media, but he's a finance guy, and he's obsessed with just like the ever-changing landscape of how we consume stuff. And he keeps saying, hey, there's national and then there's hyper-local, and it feels like there's no middle ground. And he really thinks that like the hyper-local focus is never going away, but at the same time he understands that the business model, and I guess we're going just more broadcast for the games themselves, the business model is, hey, let's go national. Let's have everything on Amazon. Let's have it on Apple Plus, carte blanche. Let's get rid of blackouts. And you're seeing Major League Baseball and the NBA, like they've had a lot of financial issues because of these regional sports networks kind of going bankrupt. What's your thought on how the average fan consumes these sports these days in the modern era?
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? The NBA salary cap is less than what people thought it would be, precisely because of the collapse of the local media. All these headlines about the big national TV deal, and it is impressive, just all the billions that they're raking in. But they've got this other problem that isn't as paid attention to, which is just the collapse of all of these RSNs. And there just seems to be something screwed up here. There's something messed up. There seems to be demand. There are all these people locally who want their sports, but for whatever reason, it's just not being priced properly, or it's attached to all this other stuff and the cable bundle's dying. I don't know if I can fix it all. It just seems like we're in this transition period where one model is dying, the other model isn't totally there, and it's just sad. It's really sad that we don't have as much certainty going on, and we can't just trust that things are going to be regular. And we almost have a false sense of it because the Warriors are a really popular team. The Giants are a really popular team. It is bleak out there. If we're talking about a Hornets or whatever, it's like public access television almost for some of these teams. So we don't even have a sense of how bad it is.
Talking with Ethan Strauss here on the Morning Roast, his latest on the House of Strauss and Substack, big NBA money screws up careers of guys who don't get it. And Ethan, you know, Shams Charania a couple months ago, and we've been playing it and we've just been kind of laughing at it. He said a couple months ago on ESPN, obviously their lead insider, this is going to be one of the craziest off seasons in NBA history, right? And really, it hasn't been. We had Kevin Durant getting traded, which we all knew was going to happen, and we had a crazy trade deadline. No one saw Luka Doncic getting traded. Obviously, you had De'Aaron Fox on a lower level, and then Jimmy Butler getting moved as well. But like, do you think even like Shams Charania is surprised about like the lack of all this movement? Like that's a guy that's as tapped in as anyone you would think, right? So for him to say that a couple months ago and to fast forward mid-July and it's been kind of meh, like how do we miss the mark so badly this summer?
I think it's hard to predict how a bunch of people are going to act. You can predict how one person's going to act or one team's going to act. It's hard to predict how everybody is going to act because reality has set in. The CBA, it was ratified in 2023, but it takes a little while to adjust and it takes a little while for teams to really know what's up and how reality is set in. And the truth is the NBA has a hard cap by other means. They are basically like the NFL. There are some things that are a little bit different, but that's the situation. You can't just give an emerging rookie a huge contract anymore because he's promising. You really have to bean count. Otherwise, you're going to be up against that second apron, and it's going to be devastating. So we're seeing teams make hard choices, and we're seeing guys overprice themselves in the market and think they can test the market and get some sort of big deal that's not there. I think a lot of these young guys, they think these teams are bluffing. They think these teams are joking. And this is the first season where they've tested the market and they've gone, oh, they weren't joking. They're actually not going to pay us. This is the situation. It's not that the players are making less money. It's that it's getting priced more exactly. So the guys that are dependable, who are superstars, are getting crazy money. Crazy money. Jalen Williams getting $287 million.
Crazy.
But there's no middle class right now. And so it's just really top heavy. And there are a lot of guys who could have counted on getting money in the past, and they can't count on it anymore.
You know, it's funny you bring up the bean counting, because I first saw this with Hunter Pence and Pablo. Hunter was about to hit free agency, and the Giants paid him. And then Pablo was like, wait, that money was earmarked for me. And he, like, lost it. And and it was almost like everyone knew he was leaving the Giants because he felt so disrespected. I flash forward to the Warriors situation. There's a lot of people that have speculated, like, did Draymond Green count the beans? And like, oh, you paid Wiggins and Jordan Poole. What about me? And then, obviously, Klay Thompson felt some kind of way because of the tightening of the belt and how much money was going to be there. And now you're seeing it with Jonathan Kuminga. You wrote an article about how, hey, it's not about, you know, us saying, hey, if I give this guy this much money, how are they going to react? It's about the ramifications of those who don't get paid. Can you expand on that some more? Because I feel like the Warriors are a great, like, case study on exactly what you wrote about in your Substack article.
Oh, man, you said a lot there. I want to hit one point and then get to the questions.
Sorry,
that you asked.
I'm long-winded.
No, you're great-winded. Now, you said a lot of good stuff there. So the first thing, basketball players are more jealous of their teammates than baseball players. This is something we don't talk about, but I think it's important to understanding team dynamics. The Pence situation you referenced is interesting because that rarely happens. Why is there so rarely that jealousy? A, no salary cap, but B, when you do something great in baseball, it doesn't adversely impact your teammates' opportunities. In fact, it might even help them. You're protecting them if you're batting behind them. They get better pitches. If you're hitting more home runs, you're not taking home runs away from somebody else. Basketball, there is one ball. If somebody starts doing well, then somebody else is getting fewer opportunities. That's the nature of the game and why sacrifice is so important for these teams ultimately winning a championship. It's a jealous game. People go, why do all these old retired basketball players hate on the guys right now? Why, when I watch MLB Network, do I see the baseball players praising the young guys? It's because it's wired in. So now in the NBA, we've almost turbocharged that with a salary cap. It's not just going to be about the opportunities. It's going to be about zero-sum cash. I think you're going to see a lot more tensions in a lot more locker rooms because of the way things are. Now, when it comes to the guys who don't get the money, that's becoming a problem because these guys, they've got that expectation, and they're going to have that resentment when they test the market in the way that Jonathan Kuminga is doing, and it's just not there. I think a lot of the guys getting the money are going to handle it fine. You know, we had that too much too soon sense back in the 90s. I think it's a different situation these days. I think that it's a new NBA. I don't think Jalen Williams is going to go crazy with his $287 million. I think he'll be fine. It's about the guys not getting that windfall who think that they're nearly as good as those guys or Franz Wagner or Wagner, however you want to pronounce it. And they're going to go crazy that they didn't get that money. And that's really what's going to tear up the locker room. It's not going to be about the guys getting paid too quickly. It's going to be the guys who feel like they missed the boat. And that's going to be what really causes a lot of jealousy on these rosters.
Ethan, that was such a great response. I absolutely love that. And I want to follow up on Kuminga specifically. Like, I like Jonathan Kuminga. I think he's a solid player. I think he can help the Warriors. But I also know that, like, introducing just this whole thing creates daily dialogue. Steve Kerr getting asked questions. How many minutes? Why isn't he starting? Like, it's just this whole whirlwind. And it's nobody's fault. It's just this is the reality of how this team is covered. I'm exhausted with the Kuminga thing because of no resolution. I feel like if they bring him back only to trade him, like I feel like we're really going to bring drama that's going to maybe ruin the season. Am I wrong in feeling that way?
I don't think you're wrong in feeling that way, and it's frustrating. It's frustrating. Draymond said that his thoughts on the new contract situation weren't about Kuminga, but they might as well have been. I mean, there's reporting that he declined a five-year, $150 million extension before the past season. God, if he just did that, then I think a lot of people on both sides are resting easier, and that would have been the move. And this is something else that was told to me when I was at Summer League by executives. These players, man, they are so focused on status. If we talk about the guy who doesn't get the money, and realistically, there's not going to be that much monetary difference for them day to day between $10 or $20 million. I know it's easy for me to say, but that's just the truth. That's just the truth.
Yeah.
And they're only going for the maximum they can possibly get because of that status and that competition and wanting to get more than Jalen Green or whatever. And it's a long game. You know, here's a crazy stat, and it's somewhat particular to Steph Curry's career. He has made 90% of the money he's made in the NBA after season number 8.
That's crazy.
So it's a long game. Jonathan Kuminga, he would be 27 after that five-year, $150 million contract he turned down. The salary cap would be much higher. If he's truly great, then he would have proven it by then, and he'd get massive cash. Instead, because he's trying to maximize the right now, he's put himself in this contractual limbo, which has then put the Warriors in limbo. I think he's mismanaged it, and I think it's pretty frustrating.
Talking with Ethan Sherwood Strauss here on the Morning Roast, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. As all guests on 95.7 The Game appear on the River Islands Guest Line, is it time for you to discover the islands, River Islands in Lathrop? So, Ethan, let me just ask straight up, like, why did we do this? Like, they tried to, like cast a shadow, or do they try to, like, create this narrative, Adam Silver, the league, like, parody, right? Parody, parody, parody. As if that's been good for the league, right? God. Because I'm as just taking a step back. You're much smarter than I am. I'm an idiot when it comes to all the finances, all this stuff.
Nah.
Like, no, I am. It's okay. But, like, I'm just looking at the league. Lakers have been good for the league. Warriors have been good for the league. The Celtics have been good for the league. Dynasties have been good. LeBron and his own entity has been good for the league. You either want people that everyone can root for or root against. I feel like we don't have that going forward, and the league doesn't want these quote-unquote super teams going forward. But I guess my question is, why?
Okay, I might say something a little bit uncharitable, a little unfair to our dear friend Adam Silver. I don't think he gets people. I don't. I think he's smart. I think he's hardworking. I think he's competent. But it seems as though he's always trying to reverse engineer what he thinks works in sports, and he doesn't understand the particularities of fandom. Like when the NBA, and I know this was maybe more of a David Stern move, but it's a good example, brought replay review to the NBA as though that's what they needed to take from NFL football. That's why people are into NFL football. It's not the violence. It's not the scarcity of games. It's these endless replay reviews that we need in the NBA. It always feels like he's looking to some other sport and trying to apply what works for that other sport and think that it's going to really help the NBA, but it doesn't work that way. So he looks at the NFL. He goes, oh, my God, they've got parity. We need parity. And the thing people should know is that people think it's the owners. People think that the owners did this. Yes, Adam Silver works for the owners, but he has power. There's a reason why these commissioners are in charge for decades. It's because that seat has a lot of security. You can play owners off of each other. This was Adam Silver's vision. This is what he thought the NBA needed to do. He was trying to address complaints about how there are only a few teams that can possibly win the championship, and he did it. This is his baby to have parity, and I don't think it's going to work. I mean, the early viewership returns would suggest as such. People might complain that their team, it doesn't have a chance, but damn it, when the team they recognize and are familiar with over 5 to 10 years is playing in the finals, that's when they tune in, not when some upstart that they didn't think might compete gets in there as an underdog. That's just what we've seen.
Well, no, it's a great point. And the whole, I think it's a myth when it comes to the NFL and there's actual parity. If you have a good quarterback, you're going to be
in it. Tom Brady was in the Super Bowl what felt like 10 straight years.
Patrick Mahomes is now that guy,
too.
It was
Roethlisberger, Manning, Brady for like 15 straight years.
Yeah, exactly.
Adam Silver, I rail on him every single day. Your point about emotional intelligence is spot on when it comes to him. I know you like to study the media landscape, and I obsess over it. Like, I'm on radio, but I'm also on YouTube. We do podcasts. Like, I consider myself very multimedia. I'm with my kid at the park the other day, and this guy goes, "Oh, what do you do?" And I'm like, "Well, I do YouTube and podcasts and radio." And he looked at me like, "Radio, what are you doing?" Like, because it feels like a dying medium. But I see someone like Grant Horvat, who is a golf guy on YouTube and has built up millions of subscribers and millions of views, telling the PGA Tour, "No, I don't want to do the Barracuda because you guys won't let me bring my YouTube stuff to the tour." It's wild to me. And then I see Fox blow out all of their television shows, and there was a scandal involved, but then they're like, "Hey, we're going to partner with the Rogue Barstool." The media landscape as a whole, as someone who was a part of ESPN and has now broken away and gone independent, like, I'm sitting here watching all these different ways of going about it. I want your perspective on this because you're independent, but you also work for the big corporation. I fret every single day of what's next? What should I be doing? Where am I going? What are we doing? Am I on a dying tree here? As you look at media landscape and these broadcast companies, what's your feel of where this thing's going?
You know what the weirdest thing about this is when you talk about it with kids, and you recognize that TV means nothing to them.
Nothing.
Radio, probably the same category, but nothing. I told my son, I once got to do a hit on Colin Cowherd, and I told my son about it. I might as well have just said, "Eat some broccoli." It means nothing. But I tell my kid I have a YouTube channel, and he's going, "Oh my God, Dad, can I do a video? How do I get on? Oh, you know, what do you do?" Like, YouTube is what's real to them. That's what matters to them. I was just at NBA Summer League. They had YouTube influencers walking around Vegas with all these security guards and people from the NBA shepherding them around because the NBA recognizes that that's where the audience is. I don't know what the future is. I just know that TV means something to me, and I still think it means something to a lot of people, that it just doesn't mean to younger people. That's what I see. I'm not smart enough to tell you where this is going, or if FS1 is being smart and clearing the decks and trying to merge with Barstool to get this new audience. I can't predict it. I'm just generationally shocked by what's happening. And I think that there's this desperation in sports overall that's not talked about enough. There are surveys right now. There's a big one that I wrote about that says Generation Alpha, teenagers, that only 15%, that's not 50, that's 15% say that they watch sports. That's what they're scared of. These leagues, these channels, they're desperate to bring the new generation into watching sports because otherwise it all falls apart and we're just looking at a demographic cliff. So that's the thing that keeps these commissioners up at night, if not the people running these channels like Fox and ESPN.
You know, you bring up your kid, and I said this to my wife. I go, because I'm a big, like you see these artists, they collaborate with each other. Miss Rachel was so popular on YouTube, Elmo collabed with her, and then Netflix was like, "We have to have Miss Rachel on." Not the other way around. Like, that blew my mind that Miss Rachel did a Netflix deal.
I mean, her stock tank, you don't want to partner with Elmo these days. You see what he's tweeting? It's a horrible person, that Elmo. I'm kidding,
right, Ethan? Like, the kids, like, you put that, I mean, the Baby Shark thing has a gazillion views on it. It's insane.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what sickens me is that when I take a video of my kid, he looks at it. He looks at me while I'm filming him doing some of his sports, and he says, "Like and subscribe."
Oh my god!
No, they know. Like, these kids. Yeah, they're my 2-year-old is well versed on just how every iPhone and all the different mechanics of it works. It's crazy. Hey, Ethan, we really appreciate the time this morning, man. Going forward. Enjoy your summer, man.
Thanks so much for having me, guys. Take care.
Definitely. There he goes. That's Ethan Sherwood Strauss, House of Strauss on Substack, and courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. And by the way, in about 10 minutes, we continue our All-Star Week prize blowout again. Every day this week, each show, we will give out one of our awesome prizes. And today, actually, we're giving one lucky listener a $100 gift card to the Valkyries merch shop and a pair of 4-day passes to Aftershock, which takes place October 2nd through the 5th, Discovery Park in Sacramento. Listen at 7:30. Again, 10 minutes to learn how you can win. We got Dave Fleming joining us at 8:30. voice of the San Francisco Giants and our Giants insider, talk about the Giants' second half as they get back underway in Toronto tomorrow. But your thoughts on what we just talked about with Ethan?
Well, let's go to the NBA first. It is interesting. We've obsessed for about, what, a decade? Supermax!
Yeah.
Like all these Supermax deals. In many ways, the Supermax is working against the entire NBA.
Mm.
You've got players pitting themselves against players because of status or lack thereof. You've got the hard cap and all these aprons that are restricting being able to fill out the roster and maintain the roster because you have to have the Supermax guys and you have to pick the right Supermax guys. You're limiting the amount of trades because there's only so many of these Supermaxes that exist. It is interesting that, like, it feels like to me where this has gone is the Supermax actually might do way more harm than it does good. Because think about it. Steph Curry is making about the same amount of money as how many other guys on how many other teams?
Oh, I mean, sometimes I feel like the entire team, it feels like he's making more than at times. Like, seriously.
Okay, he's on a Supermax, but we all would agree he's worth way more to the team, to the league, to the bottom line. So I think that the whole Supermax and the slots and the specific hard caps, and it's all actually working against the league, and it's creating player dissension and issues in the locker room, which has bled over to the play on the court.
Right. It's one thing if it's the NFL and there's that many people on the team, so you understand a trickle-down effect of everything, right? Even with at the smallest level, like a Juwan Jennings, he's nothing compared to what Brock Purdy and George Kittle or Fred Warner were going through with their contracts. There's all different levels there, right? And different ages and different positions, what have you. But even he's going to be like, hey, yeah, I think I'd, at the minimum, a couple million dollars of a pay bump would do wonders for me. And again, I don't know what the negotiations are. Don't know what his team is asking for. We'll see as veterans start reporting next week. But that being said, my biggest takeaway from what Ethan was just saying was just the NBA, and we knew this, but like just to hear it again, and Adam Silver in particular, you're not the NFL. You're just not. And you're never going to be the NFL.
And nor should you want to be the NFL.
No.
You know why? The NFL, everyone's got a face mask on, and the quarterback's really the only thing that matters.
Correct.
Like, oh, big, big picture.
There's some wide receivers, some running backs, like, but that's really, it's the quarterback.
Joe, you could say in my lifetime, Magic and Larry, Michael Jordan, Kobe and Shaq, you know, you want to throw someone at LeBron
and Steph.
Steph Curry. Yes. It has been almost to a T, one or two guys, either foes or frenemies, you know, guys that were on the same team, carrying the league. And you know what? Even when my team wasn't involved, I still loved the league. I still watched.
Yes.
So did you.
Yes. Like, exactly. Are we Patriots fans? No.
No.
We were watching the New England Patriots because Tom Brady and Bill Belichick is one of the greatest dynasties.
Exactly.
And either you were rooting for it, it's like, wow, it's pretty incredible.
Or you're rooting against
it. Or you're rooting against
it. Like the Chiefs currently.
And there's a problem right now in the NBA. You don't really, like the casuals, which again, this is a thing. And we talk to a lot of quote unquote casuals. I don't use that as a negative term, by the way. Some people say that's a negative term. I don't think it's a negative term at all. You should be catering to the casuals of the like girlfriends, boyfriends, whoever like doesn't like just casual fans. But, like, we need someone we either collectively hate or love.
Yes.
Unfortunately, the Indiana Pacers in Oklahoma City, they don't care.
Halliburton was a great little story, but I don't know if that's... Yeah, I don't think that's... Like, again, if I were to say Indiana, most people say the Fever, Caitlin Clark.
There you go.
And I'm not trying to hate on Halliburton. It was a great story.
Yes.
But Caitlin Clark might be the biggest thing in that state.
And I don't think going forward, even they're signing these three big players, the Oklahoma City, their Q rating for the casuals, I just don't think they have a player or a brand of a player that's going to translate. Like, Stephen Curry is unique.
Well,
The way he is size-wise and how he changed the league was unique. LeBron James physically was unique.
Can I hold out? Maybe they do 3 or 4 years from now if they rattle off 4 in a row. Like, I'm just saying, like, I will never say never in sports.
No.
You know, like you never know. But I would agree with you today. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander does not capture that same, those other guys you referenced.
And that's why I brought it up. Like, and Ethan was talking about Adam Silver wanting to do this parody, kind of like what it is going on with the NFL. And again, I had to call it out right there. And not that Ethan was saying this, is just what Adam Silver is trying to do. There is no real parody in the NFL. There just isn't.
No, it's quarterback. Like right
it's
now,
quarterback driven.
Joe, if I said to you, name the division winners today, division winners.
I would go by the best quarterback.
Exactly.
Probably, but doesn't mean always mean that.
No,
but for the most part, it's the best quarterback. Yes. Why do you think Tom Brady dominated the AFC East for so long? It's because there's no other quarterbacks that are worth a damn.
NFC East.
The Ryan Tannehills of the world, please.
NFC East right now. We're all taking Jalen Hurts, right?
Yes, okay. Right now. But then Jaden Daniels is right there. Hell, if Dak can stay healthy, maybe the Cowboys do something. And again, I know we have to scoff at Dak. He's been a pretty freaking good quarterback for the most part.
No, I know. But right? But the best quarterback, it's going to be Jaden or it's going to be Jalen.
And why are we never going to give up the Chiefs in the AFC West?
Because of Mahomes.
Because of Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right?
And then the North, like Lamar, it's Lamar's until it's not. And if it's not Lamar's, maybe it's Joe Burrow's. Right. That's what most people are thinking. What's going on in the East? Oh, it's Josh Allen. Like, yep. We know who's winning these divisions.
Yep. And on the other side, we know who's winning an All-Star Week prize blowout for the day. We're going to talk about that. It's going to start on the other side. And it's being brought to you by Fremont Bank, here for you, here for good.
Now back to the morning roast with Joe Spadoni.
You're weak, you're out of control, and you become an embarrassment to yourself and everybody else.
And Joe Shasky on 95.7 The Game.
How much more betrayal can I take, Paulie? How much more?
I still can't get over Steph Curry made 90% of his entire career NBA earnings after year 8.
It's pretty incredible.
That's unbelievable. It shows you how much the league has grown and how the salary cap has exploded.
Well, and now is it like reverting back to the mean? Has it gotten too far? And now we're trying to like reel it back in as this NBA's middle class is dying. We are just joined by Ethan Sherwood Strauss, Substack, House of Strauss, formerly of ESPN. And if you missed any of that interview, I urge you to go onto the Odyssey app or on YouTube where we are streaming live. You can see these beautiful faces. And yes, the nose is real. And it's spectacular. No, Shasky has not gotten a haircut recently, but I'm sure he's going to get one very, very soon. By the way, it is time to give away today's prize, $100 gift card to the Valkyries merch shop and a pair of 4-day passes to Aftershock, I should say, which is October 2nd through the 5th, Discovery Park, Sacramento. And here's how it's going to work. Sometime over the next 30 minutes, we're going to give you 3 clues. After that, we'll play a sounder.
Big summer blowout.
And at that time, you'll have to tell us which former All-Star we are talking about. So stay tuned and listen for those clues. Plus, in about 26 minutes, we're going to be going through another part of our bracket of the best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century. You and Evan crushed it yesterday. You start off with the top right quadrant. And if you don't know what we're talking about it, I'm holding up on YouTube. And you can also find it on our social media channels, Twitter, what have you, etc. It is everywhere. And we're going to be going through the Mac Jones or Trey Lance topic. That was a fun one. Remember that draft? Turns out that entire draft class might have just sucked, by the way. The Tuck Rule, which is, I want to use replace the T with another letter because that's really what it was. The Tuck Rule, which spring-forwarded the dynasty that we now know as the New England Patriots. And it might very well be the reason why the Raiders are no longer in Oakland anymore. The Madison Bumgarner turnpike accident heard around the world. Another great topic, Joey. What was his alias's name for Bunk? Mason Saunders. He had a fake name.
Yeah, that's pretty lame.
Oh, man. And then the Draymond Jordan punch. Jordan Poole punch heard around the world.
Having the conversation that we just had, yeah. You know, we're having these different sports conversations. How much did we talk about in that Draymond Green, Jordan Poole thing, kind of the pecking order within the locker room about who was getting paid, when they got paid, how much money was left? Like, it's kind of like what we're talking about now, but obviously very extreme because there was other stuff that led to it. But wasn't a big element money?
Absolutely. And Ethan Sherwood Strauss, what you're alluding to, what he just told us last segment about the jealousy in the NBA, more so the Major League Baseball, NFL, because the rosters are so tiny in comparison, there are this feeling of, you know, the prince and the pauper, the haves and the have nots going on in the NBA locker rooms right now, and jealousy. And that's a natural part of life in any industry. And you think these guys with their egos, it's going to be any different? Absolutely not. So here's Ethan Sherwood Strauss talking about that jealousy over contract aspect you're alluding to with Jordan Poole, Draymond Green, Klay Thompson. It's a real thing.
Basketball players are more jealous of their teammates than baseball players. This is something we don't talk about, but I think it's important to understanding team dynamics. The Pence situation you referenced is interesting because that rarely happens. Why is there so rarely that jealousy? A, no salary cap, but B, when you do something great in baseball, it doesn't adversely impact your teammates' opportunities. In fact, it might even help them. You're protecting them if you're batting behind them. They get better pitches. If you're hitting more home runs, you're not taking home runs away from somebody else. Basketball, there is one ball. If somebody starts doing well, then somebody else is getting fewer opportunities. That's the nature of the game and why sacrifice is so important for these teams ultimately winning a championship. It's a jealous game. People go, why do all these old retired basketball players hate on the guys right now? Why, when I watch MLB Network, do I see the baseball players praising the young guys? It's because it's wired in. So now in the NBA, we've almost turbocharged that with a salary cap. It's not just going to be about the opportunities. It's going to be about zero-sum cash. I think you're going to see a lot more tensions in a lot more locker rooms because of the way things are.
Pretty crazy, right? That's Ethan Sherwood-Strauss who joined us last segment. And I do agree with him when it comes to just the nature of the team dynamic being so much smaller than it is in Major League Baseball. Now, there's the element of the game itself. International player pools are a lot different in Major League Baseball. It's just different. It is. That being said, like going forward here, are there going to be some people within the Warriors locker room, like Jonathan Kuminga this next year, Joe? I don't know. Feeling some type of way about not getting the money that he wanted. And how's that going to affect the team, right?
Let's just say,
I think that's why a lot of Warriors fans are like concerned right now about bringing JK back. Are we going to get a disgruntled JK of how things went in the offseason?
I don't even know if it's disgruntled JK. What if I just said, like, unnecessary tension for the final couple years of trying to accomplish something? What are we talking about with the Niners? I can't believe Juwan Jennings is holding out. We need no distractions, no issues, no nothing. Like, right. That was last year, and look what it did to the season. The last 3 years for the Warriors has been a lot of unnecessary stuff. Mm. Questions about playing time, role, status on the team, contracts. So, like, if you bring back Jonathan Kuminga, all right, and let's be fair here. This isn't anyone's fault. This is what's going to happen every single day. And I've been thinking about it long and hard. Like, JK comes back on the deal he's at right now, or he signs a multi-year extension. Is JK going to start? Okay, he's not going to start. Well, what does that mean for his future long-term, coach? Well, I don't know what I mean. I'm talking about the daily conversations. Mm. Us, the media, the team, everyone, okay? Every time Dunleavy steps to a podium. So let's just say he's on a multi-year deal. Forget what the number is. Does he start? Okay, he's not starting now. What about when you go through a winning streak or losing streak? Does it change? Mm. Does he go from I was a starter to now I go to the bench? Or, you know, now that we're on a losing streak, he goes from the bench to being a starter? How many minutes does he play? Is he closing? Is he defending? Is he rebounding? You know, let's say he doesn't get the contract. Well, you're not playing him. You're trying to suppress the amount of money he's going to get. Mm. You're squeezing his opportunities. You know, like, every single day, it's going to take up so much oxygen in how the team is covered, viewed, how the questions that are peppered at them. I'm not even blaming anyone. I'm saying we need a resolution one way or the other, and it needs to be very definitive for everyone's sanity.
Yeah. No, I'm totally
the coaches, with you. the players around them. So they're going to be asked ad nauseum about the situation.
But at the same time, like, and I hear what you're saying, I don't know if there's ever going to be like a time where people, like, players aren't jealous of other players. But that also comes within the locker room dynamics of having the structure in place to deal with that stuff. Like, I don't think the Warriors, in hindsight, and obviously during the time we were talking about it, they did not handle the Jordan Poole situation well at all. I think when it's all said and done, when we have these, you know, these documentaries in 15, 20 years about, you know, the light years documentary, you know, Steve Kerr, Bob Myers, all these players are going to be set down. Maybe Draymond's never going to admit that he did something wrong. I don't know. But they're all going to be like, yeah, we probably could have handled that differently. Yeah, we probably could have handled that situation differently. Maybe Jordan Poole feels like he could have handled himself a little differently. I don't think he's just like apologize for anything. He's like, why should I apologize for getting punched in the face, right? But there is going to be there's a lot of different things baked into it, but it just goes back to egos in general. Like, and that's why I have such a big amount of respect for the dynasties that have been able to win multiple and multiple years in a row, and being able to have a collective buy-in, that is so damn important.
Yeah,
you need a buy-in from Jonathan Kuminga. If you want to accomplish anything this year, if we all think JK is coming back, you're going to need a buy-in from him. And that's going to be incumbent on the other players around him to be able to foster a good environment for the team itself.
But I want to take the pressure off JK.
Yes.
Even if he buys in, I'm not blaming him. I want to make it very clear. Even if he buys in, the inherent issues that will arise on a minute-by-minute daily basis because of the media doing their job, because of the team and how it's constructed. JK didn't make that pass to Curry. He was wide open in the corner. As we talk about, if you get yours, I don't get mine. That's kind of what Ethan was getting at. Oh, but why is Pods allowed to play through mistakes and JK can't? Like, oh, JK's going to eat into, I don't know, Jimmy Butler or Draymond Green's minutes. And like, there's this whole dynamic. And I think because it's the same guy, Jonathan Kuminga, and a lot of the same guys, year after year after year, it's an exhausting exercise. Mm. If I replace JK, and I'm just going to use this player because we talked about him earlier, I put Josh Giddey in there, at the minimum, it would feel different because it's a different player.
Mm. No, yeah.
I just feel like we've had the same conversations with the same guys, the same dude with the same coach, the same thing. And so something's got to give here. And I think it's for all parties involved.
We're going to get to KC in San Jose. He wants to join in the conversation in a second. But in the meantime, here are your three clues for the contest, the All-Star Week Prize Blowout Contest. Three clues right now. All right. Clue number one. I am a pitcher, and I was an All-Star four times in my career for three different teams. 2000, 2004, 2010, and 2014. Clue number two. I was born in Columbus, Georgia. Clue number three, I pitched and played the outfield in college for Auburn University. Those are your clues. Hold your guesses until we tell you when it's time to call. You're going to hear the sounder soon, and at that point, call in to guess and try to win the $100 gift card to the Valkyries merch shop and a pair of four-day passes to Aftershock, which takes place October 2nd through the 5th, Discovery Park, Sacramento. All right, Casey, San Jose. What you got on this topic, Casey? Good morning.
Morning, guys. Hey, Shasky. I mean, you're old enough to remember this, man. Like, we lived through the Chris Cohen-Rowell era for like 20 years, right, after Weber. You know what annoyed me, and we're all some of our experiences, what annoyed me the most about players was not when they were underpaid. It's when we had to overpay the Corey Maggette's. To come here, Steven Jackson just getting an extra $15 million out of Rowell. So I'm okay if we have haves and have nots because of Steph Curry and SGA. Mathematically, they might not be 10 times better than a JK or whatever, but it's okay. Hey, JK, you're not good enough to be the guy. You don't get $25 million. Take your 11, and that's the market. The top guys are game changers. They'll be remembered for 50 years from now. You're just a guy, and that's how it should be. That's how it is in real world, right? We don't worry about our teams that we're managing. We worry about the top performers. We pay them. We take care of them. They do good. It's the low performers making too much money. That's what causes more tension because they don't deliver the output.
Casey, San Jose, appreciate the conversation. 888-957-9570. It's the same number to call or text the Boxer and Gerson Work Injury Attorneys text line. This is something else that I found interesting in regards to, you know, the players making all this money. Because they're making all this money, Joe, like the incentives to like do a lot of commercials, be a part of a lot of endorsements, not saying they don't have a lot, but there's not really a huge incentive if you're making all this cash to go out and do stuff in front of a camera and have to, like, if I'm a Jokic of the world, right? I don't need to do all these commercials. I don't need to do anything. Why? I'm making $250, $300 million. I don't need to do that. Now, Jokic is Jokic. He's going to be in Serbia. He doesn't care about all that. Guy even want to go to his own championship parade, for God's sakes. And it was a little tongue-in-cheek, but you get what I'm saying. Like the Devin Bookers of the world, or, you know, the Shea Gildas Alexanders. You're going to see them, sure. But But like, I don't need to go on Jimmy Fallon. I don't need to go on Jimmy Kimmel or Conan or whatever. I don't even think Conan's a thing. But you get what I'm saying, right? It felt like at a time we used to see these guys front and center doing a lot of different things because they wanted to build their own brands. Well, I don't need to build my own brand if I'm making $300 million. And I think a huge part of the NBA is getting to know the players and the personalities and the fits. Like Kevin Durant, hate him or love him, you know what he is. He's going to be on social media and he's going to be tweeting and that's his thing, right? Russell Westbrook to a degree, he's going to get into it and he's going to be disgruntled and he's going to be that player. Steph Curry was doing a lot of commercials and you could think he's kind of like this corny family man, if you will, but even that is something, right? And it's Steph and he has a big smile on his face. LeBron to an extent. I'm not really seeing that with the Jaylen Browns, Devin Bookers, Jason Tatums of the world. Hell, even Jimmy Butler, right? Like, I don't know. I do think there's something there with promoting the player perspective and the player product, because that is what the NBA is at the end of the day. It's a player-driven league, unlike the NFL. But even in the NFL, I'm seeing the quarterback doc every summer. I'm getting to know Jared Goff. I'm getting to know Joe Burrow. I'm getting to know, hell, if it's a Marcus Mariota of the world.
Well, football's just different, Joe. Like,
well, I'm saying, like, culture, I want to
make this point. Yeah. Football culture is just very different. You have to go to college. Right?
Yes, like, you do.
So there's like a, not a frat boy, but there's this like, for example, when you watch the Oklahoma City Thunder and they win the championship, not one guy on that team drinks, which I don't drink. I personally find that relatable. The average person does drink.
Yes.
Like, just look at our society. And then they watch the ACC tournament, which is the one up in Tahoe, and you got Kittle, you know, slamming beers, and you got Kelsey slamming beers. The NFL guy just feels like the common dude because they went to college. They had more of those, you know, fraternal kind of relatable instincts. I do believe that they're just different. The NBA player is dramatically different than the NFL player. And I don't think that they're very similar. And I think that the NBA player views it as, you know, Jimmy Kimmel. Like, that is outdated, doggy. I have my own social media account. I don't need Jimmy Kimmel.
No, I'm not. And I'm not saying you don't need that. But what I am saying is I do think we're getting to a point where these guys are making $250+ million. Jalen Williams making that much. What incentive does Jalen Williams have to do anything else and be in front of a camera in the offseason or during a regular season? I'm saying because all these stars are making so much damn money, I don't need to promote the league. It's not my job. I don't need to. Okay. I don't need to do all these big endorsement deals with Nike and being all these commercials. Why should I? I want to do my own personal thing. Not saying that some of these guys aren't. Mm-hmm. Obviously, LeBron and Steph, but those guys are getting old. They're going to be phased out in a couple of years. And I am very concerned as we talk about this future face of the league thing. People poo-poo it. Oh, well, the fans will just... The reason we keep bringing that up is because we don't have one. We don't have a future face of the NBA right now.
You don't think Luka is going to be it?
No! I don't right now. I don't
Luka
know.
Has an opportunity.
Has
to
an
be
opportunity.
It.
We keep thinking.
I mean, he's on the Laker brand, and he's one of the most, you know, recognizable faces on the planet.
Sure, and you know what? If he signs all these endorsements and becomes like a funny guy, and he goes on all these podcasts and he sits down, like, something I'll give Draymond Green. This is the podcast withstanding him being a part of TNT and that broadcast crew that has the respectability factor, as you mentioned earlier in the show. You still tune into Inside the NBA. Yeah. I think fans do still too. Him being a part of that helps his image. Now, all the other stuff, the antics on the court, I think, you know, it's a great Draymond Green experience. But I do think his Q rating rose exponentially when he started doing those playoff broadcasts and being a part of that. I do believe that. Now, Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, they might just be like boring individuals, quote unquote. They may not care, but I do think the league needs to start looking at these guys and promoting some of these people going forward. Because they're going to realize once Steph and LeBron are out of there, they're in trouble.
Well, there's no doubt. I mean, yes. Bronny has a higher Q rating than a lot of
That's
different
a problem.
People. No, of course it is. But his dad's also one of the most popular,
yes.
famous people of all time. But I don't think this is, you know, to your point about like doing stuff. Tim Duncan never did anything.
No, but I had Kobe there.
No, that was where I was going. Like, Tim Duncan didn't do anything, actually. And
nothing.
And I would never have called him the face of the league. He might have been the best player in the league, but he wasn't the face of the league.
He's what Jokic is right now.
Exactly.
He's the same. They're the same guy.
Yeah, but you had Kobe. You had, well, and even people forget, but Tracy McGrady the franchise, CB franchise, and Yao Ming. And you had a variety of different people who maybe weren't the face, but were at the come up. Yeah, I don't know where we're at right now. I think that a lot is up there. You know, Giannis, I think, had an opportunity to be the face of the league. Had he, you know, maybe won another one, maybe we view him even in higher regard.
Right.
I think he's well liked. I think he's a character that people absolutely love, but his star pales to Steph's.
That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm just looking at the AAV, right? The average annual value of all these contracts. I'm just going through the names top to bottom. Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. All right, he was there yesterday at the ESPYs. Great.
But here's what I say about Shai. Give it a couple years on Shai. You know, if they win a couple championships, our opinions might evolve.
Maybe, or he'll just be Tim Duncan too, right?
He just doesn't resonate.
Correct.
That could be it.
Devin Booker. I think he's most famously known from people outside of the NBA for dating a Kardashian. There you go.
Yes.
Devin Booker makes a lot, $66 million. Jason Tatum.
That's crazy.
Jason Tatum. He is literally personified as the guy that is ChatGPT when it comes to celebrations. His whole celebration of winning the title was like Kanye West quotes, Kobe Bryant quotes, images. Like, it was crazy.
He copied Kevin Garnett.
Just inauthentic. That's exactly. He copied Kevin Garnett.
I don't think he ever resonated. And even though he's on an iconic brand, the Boston Celtics, he's just kind of a blah.
And another year where he's not going to be there, which sucks because he had the soft tissue injury in the playoffs. But he's going to be out of sight, out of mind for a year. And I don't think he's going to resonate, even if he does like broadcasts or podcasts or whatever. Joel Embiid, guys hurt all the time. That's what I think of him.
He's got big star power, though, online and resonates. And I think the stature has something to do with that.
That's funny.
Can I ask you guys something? Does it feel like to you guys that Tyrese Halliburton took such a big step toward being the face of the league this playoff, more so than maybe any of these other guys have in the past 2 or 3 years?
Had he won that championship Game 7 after the calf injury and everything that happened, his dad running on the floor, all the game winners, being the face of faceless basketball coming out of Indiana, I do believe he would be somewhere. I still think, I'm telling you, and I know we can disagree on this, Luka being on the Lakers, I believe, is setting him up to be the face of the entire league.
I think
biggest brand, biggest player. Yeah. You know, I really think he is set up to be that. Now, whether he takes that mantle is up to him.
Right, and I think Adam Silver, obviously, would love for that to happen. But I don't know, and Ethan Sherwood-Strauss, who joined us last segment, you kind of alluded to this too. He's not the guy right now going forward to like grow this league. And I think we've all been kind of like jumping on that. And I think this summer it's come to the realization of like, what the hell are you doing with the league?
What about Victor Wembanyama?
Can he stay healthy?
Well, no, I'm saying like this happens. I remember when Jordan was at the end and everyone thought Iverson will take over as the face of the league. Like that was the thought process when Jordan was ending with the Bulls. And there was like, uh-oh, there's going to be a huge vacuum. What are they going to do after Jordan? And then the league kind of figured it out and they got Kobe. They got lucky. They got Kobe.
Yeah.
But you didn't know that though, Joe. No. You didn't know Kobe would be that. We knew he would be exciting and fun. And, you know, he was a rookie on the All-Star team, which was because of the popular vote. But we had no idea he would be that.
There it is right there. That's the sounder. It's time to win the $100 gift card to the Valkyries merch shop and a pair of 4-day passes to Aftershock October 2nd through 5th, Discovery Park, Sacramento. The first person to call our contest line and guess the former All-Star player correctly will win. That's the first person to call 415-523-4652. Again, 415-523-4652. You win. Thank you to the Valkyries and Danny Wimmer Presents for providing this awesome prize. All right. So the Aftershock tickets, by the way, are still available at aftershockfestival.com. Steiny and Goo giving away the next prize at 12:30 today.
A lot of leagues have had these conversations about who's going to be the next face, where is it going to go, and sports finds a way to settle itself. Didn't see Patrick Mahomes coming in and saving the league. Didn't see Lamar Jackson coming in and Josh Allen coming in 6-7 years ago and being what they are today. We thought, oh my God, what are they going to do post Brady and Manning?
Hey, you know what I'm excited about? The best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century. And I love this conversation. We can revisit it later on the show. But coming up next, we got another part of this bracket, but it's going to come after the injury report. And I will say this, in the NBA, I don't know if an international player can truly resonate and be that face going forward. I don't know. I'm not saying it can't happen. I'm questioning if it can be. Giannis would be that guy, but it's definitely not Jokic, and I don't think it's going to be Wembanyama. So I don't know.
Shohei is for baseball.
Different sport, again, but I hear you. 49ers training camp is just around the corner, and the team will be without one of their backup quarterbacks. According to the team, quarterback Curtis Rourke will open camp on the non-football injury list as he recovers from an ACL tear. The injury report was brought to you by Boxer & Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. Dave Fleming, 8:30. But before that, the best Bay Area sports topics of the 21st century. Touched on it yesterday with E-Dog and Shasky. We got some more coming up on the other side. It's going to be brought to you by Fremont Bank. Here for you, here for good.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 40% off site-wide, plus a professional measure at no cost. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.